March of 2019, Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City, published an article on nymag.com promising to undertake the most ambitious climate protection plan that New York City had ever seen. He said, I quote, "We're going to protect Lower Manhattan." He said, "This will be the most complex environmental and engineering challenge the city has ever undertaken." He was promising a project of historic proportions. They were going to alter the shape of Manhattan. They were going to alter the shape of the lower city. They were actually going to build out the island. They were going to extend it out into the sea, and they would build these berms, and they would build other things that would have the ability to block floodwaters as the oceans would rise. He said, he made this ambitious promise. He said, "We are going to flood-proof Manhattan for the next 100 years. People are like, "What? Are you kidding? We can do that?" He's like, "Yes. And we already have the money for it. This is going to take $10 billion, and that $10 billion is already in the bank." But we always know there's a but. As torrential rains of Hurricane Ida flooded subways and horrifying images of commuters rushing up subway stairs in dirty, disgusting, waist-high water, and as the horrifying stories begin to hit newspapers of people drowning, horrifying, drowning in their own basements, unable to get out of the rushing flood water that would overtake their own home, people begin to wonder, what in the world went wrong? In the answer to this question lies a powerful, capacity-increasing leadership lesson. I want you to hear me. You gotta sweat the small stuff. My name is Adam Shaw, and this is The Restorationist. Well, hey, everybody, welcome to another show. It has been too long since we've had the opportunity to connect and chat with one another. Thank you to all of you that have sent me messages over the past number of weeks telling me the impact this podcast has made on your life. I greatly appreciate it. I wish we would have been able to create more content, but God's just been able to open some doors for me to travel for ministry, and that has been amazing. And in my travels, I had a chance to meet a lot of you for the very first time that listened to the show. Shout out to Urshan College and UGST. I got a chance to meet a bunch of listeners there when I was there in September, and that was so awesome. Thank you for coming up and telling me that you listen to the podcast. Thank you for coming to hear me speak. It was so cool. It was so awesome to get a chance to connect with all of you. God's doing amazing things in my local church and in our family, and we're just so thankful. And that has squeezed my time a little bit, but here we are back in the studio, a.k.a. my basement, a.k.a. the man cave for Judah and I to share some more content with all of you. One of the things that you can do to help this show is by leaving me a star rating and a review. All of the podcast players have this algorithm thing that when you leave a star rating and a review, it pushes this podcast kind of out there a little bit more, and more people get the opportunity to get exposed to this content, even people that are outside of the church. And I think it would be really cool to have more people that are far from Jesus get exposed to leadership content that's rooted in Jesus. I think that has the ability to make an impact. So thank you in advance for leaving me a star rating and a review. And if you like this episode, share it with a friend. That would mean the world to me. All right, let's get back into today's content. Let's get back to our story. So what in the world happened? We had a plan to flood-proof the city, but then the city got flooded. We had a plan to protect Lower Manhattan from floods for the next 100 years, and people, a year and a half later from the promise, drowned in their own homes. How unbelievably heartbreaking and horrifying is that? So what happened? What's the reason for all of this? Well, number one, the $10 billion was not spent. They had the money. It wasn't for a lack of resources. The resources just weren't used. Some of it was, but the vast majority of it was not touched. Number two, Mayor de Blasio, as he stepped out in front, he could no longer hide from the media. He began to blame everyone. He refused to take responsibility as a leader. And let me tell you what, we can talk about that in another episode right now, but leaders, we take responsibility. If a ball gets dropped, we get up and we say we dropped it. We don't hide. I know he's a politician. He should not have acted like a politician. He said, he blamed everyone. He said the weather forecasters didn't let us know that there was going to be a flood. The weather forecasters, if it was those weather forecasters would have let us know a flood was coming, we would have been ready. But here's the deal. The weather forecasters did. They said, hey, Mr. Mayor, a flood is coming. And instead of warning the city, he went on television to tout his COVID-19 protocols and also began to self-promote for a possible governor run. With the knowledge a flood was coming, he stuck to his message points to promote himself. That's inexcusable. So what happened? What is the cause of this flood that should not have happened in the first place? Well, as the story began to unfold and people began to go back to their homes and the floodwaters began to recede, images began to surface online of gutters and storm drain grates. Let's try that again. Storm drain grates that were littered with garbage. Littered with garbage. Soggy cardboard boxes, coffee cups, milk crates, silt, a snarl of candy wrappers, plastic bags, foam, egg cartons, and even in some neighborhoods, grass growing up through neighborhood storm drains. What turns out is that New York had a plan to stop the ocean, but they didn't have a plan for coffee cups in Flatbush. Their storm drains, their gutters did not have the capacity to withstand torrential rainfall. And the reason why they didn't have the capacity to withstand torrential rainfall is they didn't have people that could go around and simply pick the garbage out of the drains that would catch the water from the sky as it fell. And as a result, the water had nowhere to go other than down the street, into subway systems, into people's homes, until the city was overrun. Do you catch that? They had a plan to stop the ocean, but they didn't have one. They didn't have one for Snicker bar wrappers caught in storm drain grates. They had a plan for 100 years from now, but they didn't have people to deal with right now. Now, look, I get it. It is so tempting as a leader to live in the land of the ambitious dream of tomorrow. Most leaders are dreamers. We've got big plans. We've got bold ideas. We love to think creative thoughts, and we like to have creative ideas, but that's not always what is necessary. And sometimes, here's what happens. We disregard the steps it will take us to get from where we are, where our team is, where our organization is, to get us from where we are right now to the land of our big vision, because those steps seem too small. I mean, it's beautiful to look at 3D renderings of how you're going to expand Manhattan. But putting on rubber gloves and picking up old candy wrappers that people's mouths have been on is gross. No one wants to do that. But here's the thing we got to understand as leaders, is that people won't follow us into our big, bold vision of tomorrow until we demonstrate competency with the present. Until we demonstrate competency on the things that have the ability to make the most difference for people right now. See, the vast majority of people, they don't live in the land of tomorrow. They don't dream and vision about what the next 5 or the next 10 or the next 100 years are going to be like. You do that. That's why you're the leader. They're thinking about, how do I deal with today? And as leaders, we have to sweat the small stuff. Don't get me wrong. It's good to think about the future. You have to have a plan for the future. It's great to imagine a better tomorrow, to be creative, to solve the existential threats of the church, of culture, and of the world, as long as you clean the drains, as long as you sweat the small stuff. One of the great failures of modern leaders, and I put myself here, this is an idea that I have been thinking about and wrestling with for the past number of weeks in between, you know, my last content that I've put out, and I've talked about it with my church. You know, we did a study on the book of Amos where we talked about it in the context of discipleship. This idea of little things, handling little things, has been something that's been swirling in my mind for a while. And so when I say the great failure of modern leaders, I'm not sitting here as somebody that's got it all figured out. I'm putting myself as someone that has also failed too. But one of the great failures of modern leaders that modern leaders can make is to live in the world of what you will do to fix the greatest problems of the future while ignoring the ones that are in front of you right now. I want you to build your Manhattan. I want you to build out your island, but just make sure you clean the drains too. Just be sure you sweat the small stuff. Now, I've chosen the title of this episode very specifically because there is an old, you know, adage, an old euphemism, old saying that says that we should not sweat the small stuff. I don't know the etymology of it. I don't know the history or where it comes from, but the overarching idea is that, you know, there are just some details you just shouldn't worry about. There are just some things that, you know, you shouldn't just, you know, don't obsess over the little stuff. Keep your eye on the big picture. Keep your eye on big things. And I guess to a certain degree, you know, whether or not you buy Captain Crunch or Fruit Loops for this week's cereal is probably not something that you need to obsess over. But as a leader, I can't think of anything more wrong to do than to not sweat the small stuff. You should sweat the small stuff, because details matter. They matter to the people that you lead. They matter to the people that you are responsible for. And one of the most important things that a leader can do is simply get things done. If you want to make the greatest difference, you have to sweat the small stuff. And here's what I mean. You've got to find the small problems in your team, in your organization, and you've got to just fix them. You got to make them better. You got to have the awkward conversations with a team member. You have to have the accountability conversation about the small little things that are in someone's attitude or in someone's heart. You've got to deal with the, you know, if you're a pastor, you got to deal with the actual garbage on the front step of the church. You've got to deal. It's wonderful to have a plan of what you will do 20 years from now and how you're going to have multi-campuses, but you also got to make sure that your bathrooms don't smell funky for your guest. You got to sweat the small stuff. You got to find the small problems on your organization and on your team and just make it better. Just make it better. True leadership, I have found, especially through, I'll tell you what, this COVID business that Canadian pastors, and I know we got Australian listeners, and some of you had Freedom Day recently, and we rejoice with you because we know that I believe it was Melbourne surpassed all other cities in the world as being the longest in lockdown. And this is something that I have learned, and I know many of my Aussie listeners have learned too, that true leadership is often unglamorously working through people's problems and simply helping them make their lives better. There's not really a whole lot of creativity. There is vision involved of where you're trying to take people, the destination you're trying to take people to, but very often it's not super creative. It's just in the trenches in people's lives, helping them overcome their problems. We all must have a clear vision of the future, but also we have to have a plan for the present. And that is where de Blasio failed. He had a vision for a century from now, but no clue how to deal with right now. So many of us listen, and I'm just going to put this out here. So many of us that are on this podcast, we listen to leaders of large organizations. And all of the listeners of this show are in the church world. And so we listen to mega church pastors and that run these wildly large organizations. We hear them talking about, you know, spending all of how leaders need to spend their time on vision, and we need to staff out the smaller issues. And that's true to a certain extent. As leaders, one of the great important things that we can do is release responsibility to more people so more people can get involved. But let's be real here, okay? Let's be real. Unless your church has 400 employees like Craig Groeschel does, that's not the world that most of us live in. Most of us don't live in the world where we get to deal with future and vision alone. Most of us live in the world of small stuff. And so what we've got to do is we have to sweat the small stuff. So what is the small stuff that we got to sweat? What are some of the things that we've got to focus on if we are going to make an impact? Number one, tending to your relationships. Tending to your relationships. This is very simply like things like social time with fellow leaders. If you got a team that you lead, you got to tend to the relationships that you have with the individuals on those teams. You've got to spend time with your people. You have to spend time talking with them, talking about where they serve, talking about their hopes, talking about their dreams, asking them how they're doing. People, they don't just do things for us, but they've got all of these other buckets that are full in their life of their jobs and their careers and their families. It's tending to your team and seeing how their families are doing. What other pressure points do they have in their life? It's those little small talk type conversations where you just connect. One of the things that we do here at our church is we have, my wife and I are a part of this, we have one-to-one tag-ins where we discuss tactical issues with our team, where it's not about the future at all. It's not about what we want to do, but we sit down with leaders and we say, what is the most pressing issue in your ministry right now? What is the one thing that needs to be solved right now, and how can we help you solve them? What is that? It is tending to your relationships. Number two, another small thing that you've got to sweat is the mundane processes in your organization or your team. The mundane process. So for a church, it's like your guest intake, following up on people. You know, following up on people is so important. I know we all know this. I know everybody knows this, but like doing basic follow-up has got to be probably one of the more mundane things you can do. Sending text messages to people that probably won't respond, or you know, calling somebody a few times and reaching their voicemail and then finally getting through to let them know that you miss them at church. See, here's where I'm convinced on this whole small thing, you know, issue or conversation that we're having today. In our church, we've got this aggressive plan to plant 6 churches in our city. We've got over 500,000 people in our city, and there's only a small handful of apostolic churches in our whole town, and most of them are not very big, and including ours. But we've got this bold vision. We're raising up leaders to one day plant 6 campuses in kind of 6 distinct communities or regions of our city, and that is, we got the campus contract drafted. We know what we're going to do. We've got ideas of how we're going to roll the whole process out, but to see that happen in the future, I've got to grow the people that are in front of me right now. If I want to see that happen in the future, I've got to grow the church, the one church that I am responsible for assisting in the leadership of right now. It's wonderful to think of the six campuses that I will one day be a part of planning. But right now, I've got to do follow-up on the people that missed this past Sunday service. I got to connect with people to see how their life is going. I've got to reach out to guests to pull them in and connect them with mature members so that the base of our church can grow. I got to make sure that people are being pushed through our discipleship process so that they can find their place of ministry, so that our benches can get deeper, that our teams can grow, so that when the time comes, we will have the resources. I've got to keep my eye on the giving and the tithing and the missions that are going on from week to week to week, because if I want to start six churches, I've got to make sure that the one that I have right now is growing and is healthy and has the resources and the people and the processes that can be duplicated in other places. You've got to sweat the small processes that keep people connected to the church and keep your organization moving. You know, I talk a lot on the show about how I'm a fountain pen guy. And one of the things I love about fountain pens is they're going to last forever. The ones that I have are, I'm going to give them to my son when I'm dead. But I love writing with my pens. I love switching out the ink. I've got more ink than I have pens. I got inks that sheen, which means that the light hits it glints a different color. It's metallic, and I've got all these different colors. I love writing in journals. I've got so much, you know, great paper around me. Even right now, I've got so much. I love everything about my fountain pen experience, but there's one part that I don't like. I don't like fountain pen maintenance. It's gross. It's yucky. I'm going to get ink all over my hands. For my nice pens, I've got to, you know, go and get distilled water from Walmart. And I have to spend, if I'm going to clean all my pens at once, I've got to spend an entire evening draining my pens, cleaning out the nibs, cleaning out the feeds. I go through piles of paper towel. But here's the deal. It's that process that makes sure that fountain pen remains usable for a lifetime. If I don't take care of the mundane process of flushing out old ink, checking my nib, seeing if it needs to be tuned, seeing if there are any issues with the feed, seeing if, you know, there's the pens that I have that are vacuum fillers, if they need silicone grease, making sure that the maintenance is done. If I don't do that, my pens won't work, you know, 2 years from now. They'll work for a while right now, but if I don't clean them in the future, they're going to be worthless. And the idea of leaving behind a library of notebooks, the pens I use to write sermons, Bibles that I have done devotions, you know, in for my son for the future, part of that will be shot because I didn't take care of the small stuff of, you know, getting little mason jars, filling up the pen with clean water, flushing it into another cup until it is clean. And it's the same with you as a leader. There are mundane processes that just keep your church moving, that keep your youth ministry working, that keep your team functioning. And those small processes you need to fixate on and make sure that they are efficient and make sure that they are doing well and make sure that they are healthy. Number three, the other small things that you need to work in your life are your routines, the things that govern your personal life, your spiritual disciplines. And I know we hear about prayer and fasting and reading our Bible and reading books and journaling all the time, not just on this show, but in all sorts of environments. And I know it can become tiresome to talk about these things again and again and again and again and again. But the fact of the matter is, it's in these routines of life that your soul and your health is maintained. It's in sweating the routine of daily prayer. It's in sweating the routine of your Bible reading. It's in sweating the routine of taking care of your physical health, taking care of your relationships, like your relationship with your children, your relationship with your spouse, if you're married. You know, when I wrestled around with Judah on the floor tonight, and then we played doggy in the middle with Duke, our French bulldog, for about 20 minutes, we're sitting on the floor just throwing this, you know, saliva, dog saliva soaked soccer ball around, which, you know, smelled like my dog as my son giggled. What was I doing? I was sweating the small stuff. I wasn't having a world shaking conversation with my son. We weren't conversing what he's going to do with his future. We weren't talking about the gifts that God had given him. We weren't talking about the importance of finding the right spouse. He's eight, and we were throwing around a ball. But the process of just spending time with him, of making sure that relationship was healthy, is so very important. Because if I have that relationship that is healthy now, when it comes time to have the big future conversations, we'll be ready to have them. One of the things I would really recommend for governing your life, the routines that govern your life, the small stuff that has the ability to make a big impact on your life. Nate Smith put forward some amazing content on the Youth Ministries podcast. The YM podcast is another podcast that I host and produce for UPCI Youth Ministries, and he dropped some incredible content on that just a few weeks ago. And so I really would recommend that you go and to the YM Leadership podcast. You can find it anywhere you listen to the podcast. You can find it where you listen to this one, and just listen to that content. It was absolutely outstanding. Because, folks, we got to sweat the small stuff. I know that this is not the most earth-shaking, you know, mind-blowing content that you've ever heard or that you've ever, you know, has ever been dispensed on this podcast before. But listen, these are the things that make the greatest difference. The small stuff in your life. Your relationships in your life, your relationships with your team, your relationships with other leaders, your spiritual health, your spiritual disciplines, your relationships with your family. These are the small things in your life. The conversations that I have with my wife after work are some of the most important that we have in our marriage, not because we're talking about our retirement, not because we're talking about the future that God has for us, but we're just talking. And just talking opens up the door for a stronger and a healthier marriage, that when we've got to handle the existential threat of the future, we have a relationship bond, and she has a trust in my competency as a husband, because I've dealt with the small issues in our life. And small issues in our marriage. Listen, every one of us, on our teams, in our churches, in our families, we got garbage that clogs the drains. And I refuse to be the kind of leader that has the great plan for 100 years from now, but doesn't take the time to pick up the stuff, the small things that have the ability to threaten my present. So I'm challenging all of us. Let's sweat the small stuff. Let's put our eyes on where the little problems are, and let's get about to fixing them. So thank you so much for listening today. I have missed talking with all of you, and I just want to let you know, thank you so much for the messages you've sent in, talking about this show and the impact that it's made on your life. I read all of them. I try to get back to all of them. Some of them do sit in message requests for a little bit. I do apologize for that. But thank you so very much for sending me a message, letting me know. Again, shout out to Urshan and all the Urshan College students that I had an opportunity to meet. A happy Thanksgiving again to all of my Canadian listeners and Canadian family. I'm praying for you. I believe in you. Let's sweat the small stuff, and let's see what God will do in our future as a result. God bless you, and have a wonderful rest of your day.